people of Britain. I hope you appreciate grinding teeth, don't hit me hand gesture, clinically depressed bald spot, how I've agonised over the choice of my new Director of Communications. But after reading those foul-mouthed extracts from Alistair Campbell's diary this week, I realised that this really was the only man for the job.
What the f*** hell are you talking about? I told Sharon we'd regret putting Prince of Darkness on my CV. Dead Ringers.
My name is Greg Dyke, and I am Director General of the BBC. Bring back Noggin the Nog? No way! Not until the whole messy business with the Euros sorted out. Now, as you know, today is the last day of the Hutton inquiry. And naturally, I'm very pleased about this. No, not because finally we'll see an end to all these embarrassing headlines about my BBC. No, it's because Lord Hutton says it's the last day, so we're allowed to bring in our own games. Jeff Hoon is bringing in Kaplunk. Because apparently that's the sound his head makes when Tony slams a car door against it. And I'm going to spend hours ripping the face off my Mr. Potato Head. Well, it serves Andrew Gilligan right for landing in the doghouse, doesn't it? Oi, Yentub, stop salivating over Damien Hirst's genius. Someone's eating my last Rolo.
Hello and welcome to You and Yours. I'm Liz Barclay.
And I'm John Waite. Coming up in the show, breathing in and out. What are the hidden dangers of breathing that no one tells you about?
Also, walking down the street. What are the hidden dangers of walking that no one tells you about?
And binge drinking in Britain. It's on the rise. We speak to two people who regularly down a bottle of vodka at lunchtime, saying that's the only way they can get through the whole tedious 58 minutes of presenting You and Yours.
But first, sudden death. It's annoying, often unexpected, and is thought to be fatal in 100% of cases. Yet up to now, very little has been achieved in the battle to eradicate it.
But now it appears there finally has been a breakthrough. I'm joined by Den Watts from Wolford in London.
Yeah, hello, right.
So what is the answer to cheating death?
Daffodils.
Daffodils?
Yeah, that's right, as long as you're carrying daffodils as you walk along a canal. The bullets that should kill you would just bounce off you.
Really?
Yeah, you can live underwater in a canal for the next 20 years.
So we put Den's theory to the test, sending a number of You and Yours researchers out by the canal carrying daffodils and fired a few rounds from an Uzi submachine gun at them.
The results were disappointing, to say the least. And this is hardly surprising, according to the government's sudden death ombudsman, who says the link between flowers and avoiding sudden death is far from proven.
Tomorrow on You and Yours, we look at the unnecessary pain and misery that can be inflicted by small businessmen.
As we speak to everyone who watched Frank Butcher in Perfectly Frank.
My fellow umbrella stands. I know that many of you will be astonished that the former Iraqi defense minister, Sultan Ahmed, who surrendered in Mousehole on Friday, will not be charged with war crimes. But there is a very good reason why the CIA has granted Sultana Brand immunity from prostitution. And that is because he has promised to lead us to Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. What he has already told us about their location explains why we haven't found them. Turns out we've been looking in completely the wrong place. He says to find Saddam's penguins of mass destruction, my troops must first cross Jazalore Gorge, then press deep into the Fangorn Forest. Beyond say that lies the bridge of Khazad Dûm on the fiery Mount Doom of Mordor, where he says our quest will be at an end. Just as soon as we find this Gandalf guy, we're all set. God bless SpongeBob SquarePants.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Now with a dry weave top sheet for added comfort. Following the broadcast of Radio 4's first interactive drama, The Dark House, there are plans for Radio 4 to make its whole schedule interactive.
Oh, Joe, I'm worried.
What's that, Clary?
I think I might be either A, pregnant, B, suffering from foot and mouth disease, or C, depressed about all those badgers getting shot. Please select your choice now.
If you want me to A, comfort her, B, shoot her, or C, talk in a less stereotypical Yorkshire accent so you can actually understand what I'm saying, please vote now. Good choice.
BBC Radio 3. Clinically proven to be 70% quieter than classic FM. Now, I've just been asked by one of these station bosses if I'd like to play a track off Pure. Oh, apparently it's a CD. Whatever that stands for. It's the fastest-selling debut classical album in history. And it's by a 16-year-old girl. Oh, no. No, I don't think so. Not, of course, that I have anything against young people getting involved in classical music. No, if Dvorak was alive today, he'd be a mere slip of a lad at 162. Rachmaninoff would be just 131 and barely out of short trousers. No, just last week at a Rimsky-Korsakov recital, there was a man in the audience who couldn't have been a day under 50. We, of course, were a little apprehensive at first, but he was ever so well behaved. He didn't cry once for his mummy or demand a lollipop. Now, I think that people really can't understand the nuances of classical music until they've been dead at least 5 years. Like me. Yes, I find being deceased helps me to keep still enough to fully enjoy the wonders of Sibelius. BBC Radio 3. Quiet as the grave.
You're listening to Today. I'm 8:20. The time is just coming up to John Humphreys. Or something like that. David Blunkett's ID card proposals have come under relentless fire this week. The Home Secretary joins me now. Mr. Blunkett, these plans will never get off the ground, will they?
No, John, they won't. I've listened to what the people have been saying and taken it on board. It's how New Labour's going to be from now on, and I don't mind telling you, it feels weird.
So what now do you propose?
I've come up with a new scheme which will fulfil many of the same functions. Instead of an ID card, I'm going to introduce an IDS card.
An IDS card?
That's right. It's vital that in this country we have a quick and easy way to identify exactly who Ian Duncan Smith is. The card will carry basic information such as what he looks like, what job he does, and a list of ways to tell him apart from Yul Brynner.
As Prime Minister and leader of this party, Maureen, I'd be very grateful if you would put me through to 118 Directory Inquiries type thing, whatever it is. Thank you. Ah, here we are.
Job 118 Directory, so which name, please?
Hello, that's 118 Directory's thing,
yeah.
Whatever. Ah, good. I wondered, in my official capacity, if I could be given the number 4, Mrs. Honeyman's Flower Stall in Camberwick Green, please.
Honeyman?
Honeyman's.
Honeyman.
Flower Stall.
Please.
I just know that it's Camberwick Green.
Camberwick.
Anything?
Not listening for that, I'm afraid.
It's near Chigley, if that might be.
Chigley?
Yeah.
This is in London?
I think it's in Trumptonshire.
Trumptonshire? What is that?
Well, wherever it is, it's got Camberwick Green and Chigley in it.
How do you spell the town, please?
CamberWick. Green.
Green. Is that a part of London, though?
Well, it's part of Trumptonshire.
I'm not recognising as the actual town. Mm. Come on, Greece. Do you know where that's near?
I think Trumpton is the actual county town.
Trumpton. T-R-U-M-P.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the actual town either.
Really?
Trumpton, sure.
It's just I wanted to buy some flowers from Mrs. Honeyman's flower stall to give to Captain Flack to honour his service. But it doesn't exist.
No. Not listening for that, I'm afraid.
Do you have anything for Teletubby Land?
Which town is that in?
Well, it's probably in Milton Keynes around the back of a car park somewhere. Anything for Teletubby Land?
Not in Milton Keynes. Sorry. Thank you, bye.
Now, another Radio 4 programme that has been made interactive.
Welcome to Quote Unquote. And goodbye.
Welcome back. I'm Sir Trevor MacDonald, and you're watching the ITV News at 10. If no news is good news, then on this show it's good news all the way. As viewers of Coronation Street brace themselves for the show's first ever gay kiss, tonight we look back at an even more groundbreaking moment on the nation's favourite soap. Who could forget this earth-shattering exchange between Jack Duckworth and Fred Elliott from 1998?
Hey up, Fred. Have you seen Alvera today?
I've not seen her, Jack. I say I've not seen her. Happen you'll have to call her on your mobile phone.
Yes, this was the moment when, for the first time in Coronation Street's entire history, it became clear that the show wasn't actually set in the 1950s. One member of the cast remembers the shockwaves.
For something in some way connected to the modern world to happen in Coronation Street, it were absolutely unprecedented. Folks was appalled. Although, in fact, we very nearly broke the taboo a few years before when Rita Ferkelhoff made a reference to an Apple Macintosh. Luckily, folks just thought she was talking about a pale green overcoat. So we got away with it. Fat Babby, Uncle Fred.
Join us when we come back for another slice of soap history. The moment in Emmerdale when a new woman arrived from out of town and she didn't turn out to be an evil slapper. From all of us here, good night.
BBC Radio 4. The headlines again. News that Heat magazine has opened its own radio station has led to fears of dumbing down in general radio output. Thankfully, something like that could never happen here at Radio 4. And now, Charlotte Green with the shagging forecast.
See celebrities Jude Law and Nicole Kidman expected Berlin Hotel separately. Paparazzi visibility poor, becoming very poor. Missionary position, German love bites, 6-7. Jordan, melons ahead, definitely dogger. Gareth Gates, becoming Pop Idol 2 wannabe. Drizzle at first, expect golden showers later. Threesome, becoming 4-7, occasionally 9. And finally, see celebrities George Best and Alex Best, relationship cyclonic. Hebrides, Baileys, Cinzano, Whiskey, Campari, Poison. Expect Oddbins, possibly Thresher, Victoria Wine later. Jack Daniels Chasers, 3 at first, becoming 457 later. New Livers prospects, rock all.
Welcome to Psychic Circle. My name's Martin.
Is that the Chiswick Circle?
The Psychic Circle.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Martin, very good evening to you. My name is Patrick. Very good evening. Very good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. And, could I have your date of birth, please, Patrick?
Well, that really was a very long time ago. We don't know whether that can be pinpointed accurately, but around about that time, certainly we hadn't stepped on the moon, Certainly, we hadn't discovered quite as many of the satellites which are orbiting Jupiter as we have now. But I'm sure over the next few years, that information will become available as technology advances.
Have you done a plug-in circle before, Patrick?
No, I don't think I have. You do predictions, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Very good. I wondered, sir, would you be able to do a prediction for me?
Certainly.
Could you predict the time of the next total solar eclipse visible from the Northern Hemisphere in this particular Saros series?
No, that's not my expertise, actually. I'm not an astronomer, unfortunately.
You're not an astronomer?
You've obviously got an interest in this, have you?
Well, a bit. Who was I in a past life, then?
I don't know. I mean, to my mind, I feel the letter G. And I feel like Galileo. Do you know that name?
Do I know that name? I know that name very, very well indeed. Galileo discovered loads of the stuff what I look at.
That's an astounding coincidence. I mean, Galileo, it sounds like a foreign name. Is that...
Well, I don't think there are many Galileos in Peckham. So I don't know. So you're saying that I was Galileo in a former life?
And I certainly get a feeling of also a strong link with Greece. Greek. Not that much, yeah. Know much about that. Have you ever been to Greece?
No, but I have been to Pontins near Lytham St. Anne's.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. That's what you're fascinating.
What am I going to be in the future?
I think you've gone through a lot of technical data in this life, you know, the technical side of life. And I feel you're going to release a lot of those structures and go into a more spiritual, a more fluid way of life indeed. So you could even be a fish.
So I was Galileo.
Yeah.
And then I'm me. And in future, I'm going to be a fish. Well, it really sounds like I've made a balls of things there.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Just like Alistair Campbell, extracts from my diary were published this week on the internet, but they weren't on the Hutton Inquiry site. Oh, no. It was on hothornybabes.xxx.com. Martha Carney's website. The headlines again. After a Radio Times survey revealed it was the most missed of all television programmes, the BBC has finally announced a new series of Doctor Who, which it says, after a few changes, will fit seamlessly into the BBC's current output. Yes. I picked up your distress call as the TARDIS approached the constellation of Cerberus. But naturally, I altered my coordinates and headed back to Earth, Gladys.
Oh, well, you can see what the problem is, Doctor.
Yes, of course I can. Your furniture is chintzy. There's rubbish all over the floor, and you're meant to be preparing a delicious dinner party for six on a budget. But your luck is in, Gladys, because this is... Doctor Who and the Lifestyle Makeover Property Cookery Programme of Doom.
Doctor Who and his team start straight away, beginning with Gladys's front room.
Gladys, my sensors indicate this room is boxy. We must create an illusion of space, either by reconfiguring the interstitial time helix to reduce the room to antimatter whilst altering its dimensional structure, or we could just put a mirror over the mantelpiece.
Meanwhile, in the kitchen, the doctor has put the Daleks to work, preparing a lovely salmon flan for Gladys's upcoming dinner party.
Exterminate! Simmer! Bring to boil after 20 minutes! Remove from pan and place in oven!
You see, the Daleks are perfectly suited for kitchen life. They possess all the efficiency of Delia Smith and the personality of Jamie Oliver. And they come with their own egg whisk attachments. Just a 5-second blast from a Dalek gun. And look, a lovely creme brulee.
So, with the makeover complete, the doctor finds out just what Gladys thinks of it.
Ah, for the love of Sutek, Gladys, put that gun down. It wasn't the Daleks' fault they exterminated all your dinner guests. They don't have the right temperament for silver service. Gladys, don't shoot. If you kill me, I'll only regenerate. No. No. This regeneration is going wrong. Terribly wrong.
Yes, join me, Doctor Who, next week for another really, really fabulous makeover challenge. I'll be making over the High Council on Gallifrey in a Rococo mock Tudor style, with, for no apparent reason, lots of sofas from DFS. Well, it could have been worse. I could have been Sylvester McCoy.
My name is Greg Dyke, and I am Director General of the BBC. Bring back parsley in the herbs? No way. If the government wants to sneak genetically modified crops into Britain, they can do their own dirty work. Nah. This week, B-Sky B's boss, Tony Hills, was forced out of his job because Rupert Murdoch wants to replace him with his son, James. Nah. That is nepotism. And nothing like that will ever happen at my BBC. I was saying just that to Lorraine Hegarty the other day as she cleared her desk to make way for the new controller of BBC One. My goldfish, Bubbles. Yeah, that's right. And Bubbles' appointment has nothing to do with nepotism. No. You see, Bubbles was the best qualified applicant for the job because he has an attention span of 7 seconds, which is exactly the same as our target audiences. Oh, Yentob, stop slating Madonna's children's book. That kitchen floor ain't going to mop itself, is it?
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. The headlines, again. Scientists say your favourite sleeping position reveals your personality. If you sleep on your back, you're quiet and reserved. If you sleep on your side, you're shy and sensitive. If you sleep in a Perspex box suspended 30 feet over the Thames, you're a narcissistic Ponce Yank. Who really should be told that Uncle Brian has been weeing into your water tube this past week. And now, the Archers. And Clary, Eddie and Joe are enjoying a quiet drink in the Bull.
Oh, Eddie, Joe, I'm sorry, but I just don't think it's right.
Me neither, Clary, but if J-Lo prefers our Joe to Ben Affleck, that's her business.
Oi, J-Lo said it was love at first sight when we met. Let's just hope she never realises it was just a couple of ferrets stuck down my trousers.
J-Lo, I'm talking about EastEnders bringing Dirty Den back when everyone knows he's been dead for the last 14 years. What if far-fetched nonsense like that starts happening in all BBC soaps?
Don't worry, Clary. I'm sure nothing like that'll start happening here. Ain't that right, Walter?
No, no, of course it won't start happening. Me old pals, me old dears, me old beauty.
Walter Gabriel, what are you doing here? You died in 1988.
No, Clary, that's just what Walter wanted you all to think. He had to fake his own death because he threatened to expose the gangsters who control the supply of black market yokel accents in Ambridge.
Well, I just hope, Walter, you're the only Archer's character that's supposed to be dead who unexpectedly returns from the grave.
Oh, no, Clary. Look, it's Joe's ferrets.
Oh, and they say they've got a message for me. What's that? You were never actually dead? I didn't really kill you. It was all a dream. Hmm. Well, that certainly explains why I woke up next morning in Sue Ellen's shower carrying that hammer.
All these characters that are supposed to be dead, we're going to sound old-fashioned and anachronistic.
And we wouldn't want that now, would we?
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. I expect you've been wondering what I've been getting up to in my retirement. Well, this week, for a laugh, I smuggled all the weapons of mass destruction out of Iraq just to wipe that crooked smile off Tony Blair's face. I'm now planning to use them for target practice. That's right, I've got them all pointed directly at David Blaine's box. But if that doesn't get rid of him, I've also borrowed some formaldehyde from Damien Hirst, and I'll pickle the little bastard instead. I also took in some sea air at the Liberal Democrat conference in Brighton. There I met their leader, the gingernut booze hound Charles Kennedy. We then took part in a question and answer session. He asked the question, please stop smashing me over the head with that empty whiskey bottle. And I answered, no. But I still find time to do all the usual retirement things. I spent last Sunday walking around the garden centre. Mind you, I walk around carrying a loaded shotgun and a stocking over my head. Having cleared out the till, I was making my escape when I ran straight into Neil Morrissey and Leslie Ash. Naturally, I punched him in the mouth. Now he's got a bigger fat lip than she has. Serves him right for trying to steal Charlotte Green off me. This is Brian Perkins in his front garden, using a hover mower to give Melvin Bragg's head a trim.
Hello?
Is that you?
It's Rolf Harris here, yes.
You are Rolf Harris. Ah, my dear fellow. My dear fellow, I'm delighted to have caught you. I am the doctor.
You're kidding me.
It sounds as though, I can hear budgerigars in the background, my friend.
It's either a budgerigar or a dog yelping far off in the distance.
Oh, really? Is everything stabilised there?
Yes, it's fairly stable. There's one dog on a drip. And there's a dog with diarrhoea, but you wouldn't want to know about that.
Really?
Yes.
Good heavens. Good heavens. It reminds me of K-9 when he's emitting too many ball bearings. I think I will not keep you. I will not keep you long. I realize how busy you must be. But I need a favor from you.
Sir?
Time Lord to showbiz legend. Your song, Sun Arise.
Yes.
Well, you see, I have to make an address to the governors of Draconia. That's a planet I often visit in the Actian Galaxy. I needed to rework it, replacing Sun with the central star of the Actian Galaxy, Zeros 15.
It's going to be difficult because it doesn't scan all that well.
Well, I was just trying something like Zeros 15, bring in the morning, motivating peace between the Suntarans and Rutans.
Very good, very good. I'll do the rhythm thing behind you. Om cha cha, om cha cha. Off you go. Cha cha, cha cha.
Yes.
No,
go on.
Cha cha, cha cha.
Zeros 15. Bring in the morning. Zeros 15. In the galaxy, motivating peace between the Suntarans and the Rutans.
Oh, do you want to come along on Monday next at the Albert Hall and we'll do you the real version?
Ah, yes, you are. You have celebrated 100 years in show business on Monday.
Are you a student, Doctor? Because there is a concession for students if you want to get a ticket. Could you pretend you're a student, Doctor?
If I was a student, Doctor, I'd be doing very poorly, seeing as I've lived for something like 750 years.
Uh-huh.
I would have to work a lot harder. Best of luck with your show, celebrating 1,000 years in show business.
Okay.
Goodbye, my friend.
Goodbye, and lots of joy attend you on your way.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain, Lawrence Howarth, John Holmes, John Culshaw, Colin Birch and Richard Ward. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.